What do nostalgia and cold beer have in common? Find out on my new podcast, West Out West. This is Dr. Vincent West, medical doctor from the Phantasm Podcast. Enjoy.
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 And I am watching the TV version, in other words, the edited for ABC, if I recall correctly from what Kevin Smith said, of Mallrats. This is one of my favorite films. I am without anybody else with me tonight doing this recording, so I'm going to turn the volume down just a little bit so I can hear it, but you guys don't hear it and get blown out of the water by the film. If you hear a little bit of it, my apologies. I'm a little bit deaf because I've been around loud music all my life. Anyway, welcome. It is in June, and oh, this is weird. So it's got some film elements that are weird in it, that because it's going like, it looks like we're going into like dailies now, so this is really weird. I may have to put the regular version in. I don't know if I can fucking deal with this. If you guys have ever seen The Exorcist 3, which Corey and I did on Phantasm a few years ago, this is the same type of situation where the cut of the film goes in and out. It goes in and out because there is like raw, it's like a non-preserved cut of the film, so it has these pieces of spliced film into it, which is very odd. But yeah, so I'm going to move this back so I don't blow you guys out of the water. Anyway, this is kind of an impromptu thing. I don't normally do this, but I am going to watch this edited version of Mallrats, so it's going to be kind of weird. I'm drinking some Coors Light, and I'm just hanging out here doing the Pantera thing tonight with the Coors Light. So, yeah, I am watching the edited version of Mallrats. So, this came out last year. This was a limited edition Arrow version of Mallrats, and it is out of print, actually. So, I've never watched this cut of the film. Maybe when it aired, but obviously they're not using... It doesn't look to me like this is a... This looks way too fucking good to be a ABC version from the late 90s. 98, if I'm not mistaken. God damn it. Anyway, I just accidentally hit rewind. So, basically what you've got is a... ABC, the network, showed Mallrats, edited, and kept promoting Ben Affleck, even though Ben Affleck's not really in this movie a whole lot, but he was the only star. So for whatever reason, they showed an edited version of this, I believe just one time, according to what Kevin Smith said. And it's really strange, but if you're wondering why I'm doing this, I'd like to actually explain that. Corey and I, when we started Phantasm, 5 years ago. This is an anniversary special. I'm doing this on Godless, but this is kind of a Phantasm homage. We went and saw Kevin Smith do like a Q&A evening with Kevin Smith thing, if you will. I had never been. I always liked him, but I was had a lot of fun. But during the whole time we were at the evening with Kevin Smith, we were talking about, hey... Or not me, Corey was saying to me, like, hey, you should be on a podcast with me. Because he was already podcasting at this point. And this is back in early 2016. So he was like, hey, we should do that. And I was like, yeah, why don't we do that? And we had such a good time. I don't know if it was so much as the idea of talking about that. Obviously, I enjoy doing stuff with Corey. But I think it was more the idea that... we could do something creatively together that wasn't music or some bullshit like that, you know, because all that's gotten really cliche to me personally in my life. So it's like we could do something interesting where it's not, it's cohesive, but I knew nothing about podcasting at the time. So when I was originally doing this, I was asked to do it and I was like, hey, yeah, that would be really, really cool. We should do that. Anyway, so back to the film. So we're here in Brody's room, and obviously he's got Spider-Man on the wall. He's got, what else? We got a Legend poster, the Ridley Scott film. I believe that's an X-Men poster. And, of course, he's looking for his Genesis controller. I'm sure you all have seen this movie a million times. And he's going to finish his NHL game. He's playing as the Hartford Whalers, which are now known as the Carolina Hurricanes. Anyway, so we were at the Kevin Smith thing, and Corey was like, hey, we should do a podcast, blah, blah. And I was like, you know, we should. We should do that. And again, I don't know if this will ever even air, but I figured I would record a little bit of something for this, kind of like a five-year special kind of thing. Because we were planning on doing a lot of different stuff for it. We really haven't done anything yet, so I figured, you know, it's June. Let's go ahead and start doing something. And not to just shamelessly promote my own product, but in January, I launched Godless Heathens, and it's very organic. There's no website. There's no Facebook page. There's no Twitter account. There's no Instagram. There's nothing. It's kind of like me. It just exists. But if you guys are interested in that, you can go over to Apple Podcasts to listen to Godless Heathens. You can also go to Spotify, and you can also go to YouTube if you like YouTube. YouTube's kind of just weird, but and it's audio, so you're probably not going to go there for that because this is all audio. But yeah, if you're listening to this, I guess you found Godless Heathens because otherwise you wouldn't be listening to this. But excuse me. Anyway, there is another X-Men poster. I guess Brody really likes X-Men. It's very interesting. There's a Punisher poster. There's a Comedy Central clock, maybe. I think that's what that is. Anyway, of course, you got Shannon Doherty from Doherty, however you say her fucking name, from 90210, which I'm a fan of. And I'm not just saying that. I really actually am a fan of it. Not so much her, but I like the show. She's part of the show, so I always thought she was kind of a bitch. But anyway, I do like 90210. It's a true story. More five-year facts about me, if you're interested. Anyway, this is just kind of a weird impromptu thing, and we are 7 minutes in. I feel like I've been doing this for 3 hours. It's weird doing this and talking without a co-host. It's also weird doing it without a guest, but I like to talk, and anybody that actually knows me in real life knows, that motherfucker likes to talk. So I'm talking, and we're watching the edited version of the TV version, rather, of cut of Mallrats. And it looks great. You know, Arrow doesn't generally put out shit. They're like Criterion. If Criterion puts out a Blu-ray, it's 9 times out of 10, it's really fucking nice. So, cheers. That's what we're doing right now. Monfrere is at... So Quint's at Brody's, and it's kind of funny. He's got all his comics down there, which is pretty badass. I'm working on a collection like that. But anyway, Tremors poster, kind of fun. But it's... So far, other than the... There's no language or any of the overdubbing at the beginning of the film. All that's gone, obviously, because it's... Can't really edit that. I'm talking about having a gerbil up your ass or whatever it was. But anyway. So, yeah. We're kind of halfway into this thing. I started this thing late, so it's definitely not synced up like Phantasm. Anyway, I hope you guys are having a great beginning to spring and or summer. I hope your your Memorial Day was good. Mine was weird, you know. Worrying where your next check's going to come from is always something that's never fun to think about. But anyway, off that bullshit, this is not a political or personal podcast. This is Dr. Vincent West, and I'd like to welcome you to Godless Heathens, special solo edition with yours truly. And we are watching the TV cut of Mallrats. And T.S. is talking about proposing to Brandy when Jaws pops out of the water. So that's where we're at in the film, if you're wondering. Did you ever vomit in front of her? And I don't think I've ever noticed this before, but I think Brody is holding He's holding a comic, but I can't actually see what that is. I don't know. I'm not sure what that book is, but this is a little weird. Anyway, this is my favorite Kevin Smith film. Is it cliche? Maybe. I like this film a lot, and I like Clerks 2. And Clerks 2, I like for the human element of it. And it also harkens back to my best friend, rest in peace, James Matthew Ash, who died in July of 2007. And we saw Clerks 2 together, and we both just loved it. I watched it, and I invited him over, and we watched it on my PS3 on Blu-ray, and it was just really cool. It's a nice memory of us hanging out. I would have never known anything about comic books or Star Trek or really any great science fiction or anything like that if it wasn't for my friend Matt. And so it's cool to reminisce about him for a second for the 5-year anniversary of Phantasm, which this is the, I guess we'll just call this the 5-year tribute to Phantasm via Godless Heathens. This is really weird watching this cut. It's very bizarre. Airhead geek. That's Brody's first confrontation with Shannon Hamilton of the upscale mail shop in the mall there, better known as Ben Affleck. And now just walking through the Easter Mall here. So, yeah, just watching Mallrats. The battery's down on this motherfucker, so I guess this episode will go as long as my batteries do. And for that, my apologies. So we're kind of watching the edited version, TV cut, rather, of Mallrats. And we're now here with Willem, who in real life, this actor, I found out recently, is a Scientologist. So that's kind of interesting. I don't know which scares me more, Christianity, like Christians, practicing Christians, especially Baptists, or Scientologists. I'm not really sure which scares me more. Fear of the unknown is always something that definitely is a personal trigger that I try to work through on my own. It gives me anxiety, so, you know. Other scary thing about this dude is he's like Jonah Hill or whatever his name is. Like they went from being like overweight to being really skinny. And I just have trouble imagining in my head how that could be healthy, you know. So, not that I have anything against people doing that. Do whatever you want. But it just, I always thought that was just really weird. Like when you go from looking a certain way to looking like you're about half dead. Maybe it's an actor thing. Maybe it's a secret of the stars to lose weight and magically for lots of money. Or maybe it's a Scientology thing. I don't know. So the reason I'm watching this is to hear the J parts, because apparently it's not him doing any of his overdubbing in this. So it should be interesting to see how funny this actually sounds. Here we go. That was him. That's him. That's him. Oh God, that's terrible. Oh my God, that's terrible. So we need you to embark on a little sabotage mission on behalf of TS's loved ones. You know about this game show thing they got going on here? Well, we need you guys to somehow ensure that it doesn't happen.
Is that it? We're going to do that anyway.
Really? Why?
What else are we
going to
do?
Silent Bob here stole the schematic of the stage from some foolish carpenter and found a weakness just like the freaking Death Star. Keep figures here, you pull this crossbeam out, freaking biggity bam, the whole stage comes crashing down.
Well, we were thinking about something simple, but if you want to destroy the stage, hey, we're all set.
The problem is the fours with the fours. You don't know what fours is? They don't know what fours is. Fours are the most feared security guard in the business, man. 460 cars, all convicted. Ours even got two kills.
I never thought I'd see the day when two such highly reputable mischief makers as yourselves doused their drawers at the side of a mall security guard.
Busted that stage at high school courier. We're just gonna outrun the force X-Men style.
Should I call you Logan Weapon X?
No, Wolverine. Sneaky, sneaky, snowing.
What are you doing? Is imitating Wolverine's berserker attack with his adamantium claws?
Timmy, represent.
Yeah. All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and recap.
Bye, baby kitties.
Hey, Silent Bob, show some art.
That's better. We're on the job.
I have to admit, I'm shocked you didn't try to dissuade them.
Oh God! So they just did a close up of like the cats instead of seeing Jay hitting TS and Brody in the nuts with his hand. It's fucking stupid. Anyway, so it's pretty bizarre. All right, kids, I'm gonna leave this running. I'm gonna turn some volume up so you can hear it. And I'm gonna get another beer. I'll be right back.
Impossible. Lois could never have Superman's baby. Do you think her faithful fans could handle the shock? I guarantee it blows her mind just like a rocket when it's in orbit. What about her womb? Do you think it's strong enough to carry his child? Sure, why not? He's an alien, for Pete's sake. His Kryptonian biological makeup is enhanced by Earth's yellow sun. Lois gets a tan, the kid can kick right through her stomach. Only someone like Wonder Woman has a strong enough uterus to carry his kid. The only way he could be with regular chicks is with a kryptonite condom. That'll kill him.
How did I go from the verge of hot Floridian sex with Brandy to manage to still coital debates with you in the food court?
Kyrgyzstan is not part of the food court.
Well, of course it is.
The food court is downstairs. The cookie stand is upstairs. It's not like we're talking quantum physics here.
The cookie stand counts as an eatery. The eateries are part of the food court.
Both not. Eateries that operate within the designated square downstairs qualify as food court. Anything outside of said designated square is considered an autonomous unit for all snacking. Now, if you're going to wax intellectual about the subject, holy snuff.
All right, kids, I'm back. This is Dr. Vincent West, our tribute to Phantasm here on Godless Heathens, the Phantasm celebrating their five-year anniversary, the podcast from which I originated. Anyway, I'm going to turn this down a little bit. So... oh, Lord. And you know, another weird thing about this film, years ago, it aired a lot. I remember USA Network would show it. I'm trying to think who else. Like the ABC cut of this, it's from apparently from which its origin is. I don't remember this, but it's very strange how this film is just kind of, I don't know, disappeared kind of. I mean, I guess Kevin Smith and Scott Mosier probably have a different take on that, but this film feels like it's kind of just disappeared. I mean, I love it. A lot of my friends always like the first Clerks. I never really liked that movie. I appreciate it, but I just didn't like it. I don't know. I think film is a medium, and TV shows as well, but I think TV and film are all like a medium where you either gravitate towards it, or maybe it gravitates towards you, and then you're kind of like, wow, that's really fucking cool. You know, this actually fits in my day. So we got some more bad editing there. Days one. First you take a run of LaForce while he's reading the magazine. Okay, clock him on his headpiece and knock him out cold. But then phase two kicks in. I attack the structural Bolden Berserk style and knock out the pin and diggity bam. Hence no game show. God, this is so butchered. It's pretty funny. If you've seen this movie a lot, I highly recommend watching this edited version. It's pretty funny if you're maybe smoking some weed or drinking some beer. It's pretty funny. I mean, the movie's great anyway, but edited, it's pretty funny. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure I've watched this edited years ago. But it's funny, actually. Before I started recording, I was also watching the edited version of Weird Science, which Arrow also put out, which I thought was really fucking cool. And it's so fucking funny. Anyway. So I hope you guys are having a good 2021. Got stuff planned. You know, plans are interesting because there's an episode of the show Becker, the old comedy from the, like 20 years ago, like a comedy about a doctor, Ted Danson, from Cheers alum. Anyway, there's an episode in season one called Man Plans, God Laughs. And I won't go into what that's about, because you're probably like, who cares about Becker? Like, you know, but anyway, Man Plans, God Laughs. It's a whole episode about making plans and then never getting to fulfill them because you end up dead. And ever since I saw that episode, and I saw that, mind you, not when it aired, but I saw that in like secondhand, like reruns, probably 5, maybe even 10 years after it aired. And that always kind of resonated with me. Man plans, God laughs. Like, go ahead and make all the plans you want, but when I say it's over, it's over. And not even from a religious terminology. I'm using, you know, I mean, if you are, that's fine. But if you're not, I'm just kind of, you know, spiritual but not religious. But I always thought that phrase, it just kind of resonated with me for years. Man plans, God laughs, you know, because you... And it's not a sexist thing, like women too, whoever, transgender, you know, whatever. I'm equal opportunity guy here. I'm just saying that the moral of it is that, you know, you make plans and then death can change those plans. So you got to enjoy it while we're here, kids. Never know when it's going to go. So that's something I will definitely say about that. All right. Or we're watching the TV cut of Mallrats. I think it's the first time I've said that right this whole time. And that's morbid, too. They're talking about Mr. Toad's Wild Ride at Disney in Florida. And it just doesn't exist anymore. Just like so many things. There's a record store in the background. I miss those. Worked at a lot of record stores. Loved music. growing up as a kid. Was a drummer, guitar player, then went to bass, did some vocals and stuff. And then I guess my main forte was bass and vocals. Not together, but separate. Those were the last two things I've dabbled in musically. Of course, that's Walter from Secret Stash in this scene. Anyway, of course, you gotta love my favorite part of this film, and it always was Stan Lee. What can I say about Stan Lee? My first introduction to Stan Lee, I guess, was Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, which aired in 1980-81, and he would do the narration for every episode. Like, if he was fighting Dr. Doom, he would say that. If he was fighting Green Goblin, he'd talk about that. If he was fighting Mysterio, he'd talk about that. If he was fighting Electro, he'd talk about that, whatever, etc. Kingpin. You name it, whatever. And it was great. And it was ahead of its time. You know, I didn't have the MCU stuff like... You guys are younger, into comics and stuff. I didn't have that shit growing up. I wanted it. And that's why a lot of people don't understand why I'm so into the fact that this stuff exists, you know. And I'm sure a lot of people are probably burnt out on it. I'm not. I can't get enough of it because I wanted all this stuff as a kid. So seeing this stuff come to fruition, even at my age, it's a beautiful thing, you know. For some reason, this fucking... Coors Light label's slipping off this bitch. Anyway, so we're rolling along here. Don't know if I'll watch the whole thing. I don't want to bore you guys with just me talking and watching a film and drinking beer, but I wanted to thank everybody out there if you have listened to us, or just even if you've listened to us one time or on Phantasm, or Corey and I, if you've listened to us multiple times. I appreciate that, man. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate the hell out of all the labels that have played ball with us for 5 years, and I appreciate the hell out of, specifically lately, Nikki from Metal Blade Records. She's an amazing woman. But anyway, I digress. I want to thank you for the listener. Because without you, no one's listening to us. And I don't know if anybody listens to us or not, but I like to think maybe somebody's out there listening to us, even if we don't know about it. It's cool. I guess it's kind of like... I like to think of Dr. West, anyway, as maybe like a dirty porno flick you like to watch. You don't really go discuss that with friends and family, or even coworkers for that matter, but you've listened to it. You know, not that I'm saying I want people to jerk off listening to me. That's a little disturbing. I don't think I could deal with that. But yeah, you never know who's listening to what or watching what. You know, the internet changed that. It was a game changer. It changed everything. Lots of different stuff going on in the world. You know, I like to think of myself as a podcaster / could have been successful radio DJ, could have been successful filmmaker, could have been successful comic writer, could have been successful maybe overdub guy, or, you know, cutting audio ads for something. I don't know. Who knows? I don't know. The beer's talking at this point, but... Yeah. 5 years of Phantasm is pretty fucking crazy. Corey and I have had a lot of fun doing it. we had a lot of pressure put on us initially with it by outside forces. And I want to thank him, because I never have, for always, you know, staying true to the brand, and no matter what he was going through in his personal life. And it was a lot. And I want to thank him for giving me an opportunity to entertain thy listener, which is you. Anyway, we're watching the TV cut of Mallrats on Blu-ray from Arrow Home Video. Amazing little film called Mallrats from Kevin Smith. And I believe this movie is 1995, I think. I think that's right. I don't know. 90-something. I can't read the back writing on it. Damn, eyesight's starting to go. You get older, it happens, whatever. So this is the elevator scene where Brody fucks Sharon Dougherty's character while he left Shannon out of the thing. And of course, Shannon's going to get real mad, of course, as we know, and that won't go well for our heroes. Now she's challenging his libido and he's about to have sex with her. So now they're fucking. There's a Sharpo pizza, whatever the fuck that shit's called. I didn't know that shit was that old. I guess it's been in malls for years. Just weird. Now they're fucking on the elevator. He's like, I'm going to kill that son of a gun. This movie's so fucking funny. You know, Kevin Smith is a big John Hughes guy, I think. I remember reading that years ago. And I guess you can kind of see that by his character development in his films. But as far as them being similar in filmmaking, I think Kevin's pretty original the way he shoots stuff, at least with this film anyway. And I know this movie was like a big production turd, I guess, to hardcore fans of his that only like Clerks, but I love this movie. I have nothing bad to say about it. Now this edited version is just comedy. I thought it would be something fun to do tonight, just to kind of homage Off Into the Sunset, 5 years of Phantasm. Not that we're going anywhere or planning on it, but wanted to do something for my co-host and for you guys, the listener. If you've been listening for 5 years, shit, that'd blow my mind to find out there's been people listening to us for 5 years. I don't know if there is or not. Maybe there is. I don't know. You never know. I don't know. I'll just keep talking and we'll see if somebody's listening. So. I was going to try to get to this, at least to the scene of this. I'm probably going to watch the whole thing, but maybe I will. Who knows? The night is young, but I'm trying to get to, well, before these batteries die anyway. But I wanted to at least get to the scene where we see Michael Rooker's on screen, by the way, right now. He's about to put his foot to the stage. But I wanted to see at least Stan Lee. Oh, fun story about this film. I had a friend, my friend Matt that I mentioned earlier. We both worked at a movie theater. It was supposed to be like an independent film theater. And see, this film, when it was theatrically released years ago, it was considered an independent film. So we showed it at the theater, at this art house theater, if you will, amongst other things like Dazed and Confused and, you know, Which is another movie that just seems so mainstream now, you would never think that it showed in an art house. But it actually did, because we showed it. Like the same year or year prior. Anyway, because I think Dazed and Confused is 94. Actually, no, it's 93. Pretty sure it's 93. Anyway, I wasn't working at the theater at the time they showed Dazed and Confused. At least, not that I'm aware of. I don't think so. So this movie is realistically probably 95. Because Big Lebowski we showed there, which also, believe it or not, was shown in an indie film market at the time because it wasn't considered a mainstream film. Now it's very much mainstream. Most people know what that movie is if you just bring it up. In fact, it's arguably probably more popular than Mallrats, or I don't know about Dazed and Confused. Dazed and Confused seems like it still has a pretty big fan base, but anyway. So this really makes me feel fucking old. So now they're in the lingerie shop, and the clerk freaks out and runs off when T.S. and Brody are explaining and actually showing what spooning is. Now, Shannon's going to have his way with Brody. He's about to beat him up in the mall corridor thingy. You know, Ben Affleck, as much as I respect him as an actor, he's a tool in this movie and Dazed and Confused. He went from one asshole role to the next asshole role. Don't get me wrong, I'm a fan, actually, but funny story to go back to my buddy Matt I was talking about earlier. Fucking hated Ben Affleck. And it's just kind of a fun memory because Matt really did hate Ben Affleck. It was kind of funny. If you base it off these two movies, he's a kind of a shit. Guy in the Easter Bunny suit kicked his butt. So, trying to get to the Easter Bunny's about to get his ass kicked by Jay and Silent Bob. That's where we're at in the film, if you're following along on this weird, bizarre, edited version I'm watching on Blu-ray from Arrow Home Video. So they're beating the hell out of the Easter Bunny, which is amazing. But yeah. K can we make it to Stan? That's the plan. Stan the man. I'm just trying to get to Stan in the film. If we can get to Stan, kids, just like 5 years of Phantasm, can we get to Stan? That's what we'll call this episode. And of course, Stan Lee dying was horrible for me. Just like Eddie Van Halen, it's one of those things, and Neil Peart from Rush. One of those things where it's like, damn, that's a tough pill to swallow. But as you get older, you start finding that there are lots of pills like that that you're, whether you want to swallow it or not, someone forces it down your fucking throat, which really sucks. But enough about that. This Blu-ray is really nice if you can get your hands on it. It may still be out there. Amazon seems to have a way of having things like this laying around sometimes. But, yeah. So this is the whole scene with where they're going to meet Michael Rooker's character. And Brody fucking sticks his hand in his ass and then rubs it all over these pretzels, which I guess gives Michael Rooker botulism. Wow, it doesn't even explain that.
I assure you tonight's program will go off without a hitch.
Well, I hope so, Jared, for your sake. I think a dangerous mall to host a game show in. I hear the Easter Bunny was accosted this morning.
The Easter Bunny was accosted. I want to say something else to the director's cut or extended cut of this film, if you will, which is not what I'm watching, is fucking bizarre. I remember having that on DVD and thinking it was one of the weirdest things I'd ever seen in my fucking life. By the way, just this is totally off subject, but I like Michael Rooker, but shame on you, James Gunn, for killing Yondu in Guardians 2. Shame on you, sir. You know, you're a creative guy, but killing Yondu? Fuck you, dude. That was really shitty. It's like my favorite thing Michael Rooker ever did was Yondu, and they fucking kill him. Fucking sucks. I'm Mary Poppins, y'all. So I don't know if we'll actually make it to the Stanley portion of tonight's feature. Will the battery last? Will I last? We'll never know. But we're recording, and we're going to keep rolling here. And this is the scene where T.S. and Brody are about to get taken out by LaFours, the security guard and his men. So I'm going to turn up and give you some volume, and I'll be right back as I grab another alcoholic beverage from Coors Light.
My daughter is too good for you, Mark. You will never, ever be with her.
So, if there isn't anything else. Hey, fellas. Well, if it isn't my neighbor.
Mr. Spinning, how would you feel that iron grip handshake?
So, what's going on here? T.S. and I were just discussing a few of his lesser points.
Of which he does have many. Hey, look at that ring. What is that?
That is my junior college class ring.
Boy, look at the shine on that. Hmm? You polish it daily?
Bruce, once you eventually get a job and start working for a living, you're going to realize that there's not enough time in the day. Such luxuries as reading, polishing.
Is that so? Say, would you like a chocolate-covered pretzel? They're a little melty, but damn, are they exquisite. And if I remember correctly, you're a big pretzel fan.
Dark chocolate.
Yeah?
No, no.
Oh, come on.
No.
Awesome.
No.
Here you go.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, kids. Doctor's back with a fresh Coors Light, and I'm watching the TV edit of Mallrats. And Michael Rooker is eating the pretzels that have poo on them. Even though in this cut, you never see Brody stick his hands down his pants, so I'm not really sure how you're supposed to understand that he gets botulism, but he does. But if you've seen the film, obviously you can just piece it together yourself. However, if you're just a viewer trying to watch this edited, this movie makes no sense. As so many just say with so many edited versions of films. So very little. Sorry, I was trying to talk to this cat. Anyway, yeah. Michael Rooker is eating poo pretzels. Soon to be suffering from botulism. Well, 90210 reference there with the Brenda. So, we'll run this baby right at an hour. How's that sound? Where will it end in the TV edit at an hour? I don't know. You guys have a few more minutes here with Dr. West. Jay just took out LaFours with the baseball bat. Glad they left that in. All right. Anyway. So they're running from LaFleur's, and it's the Tim Burton 89 Batman homage right here. Now we're at the flea market. You know, flea markets, sometimes in certain cities, you can find some interesting stuff. I was in a flea market recently in the city I live in currently, Pensacola. And I went to the flea market and actually found a guy dealing comics.
So that was really cool. He even had graded CGC comics as well, so that was pretty awesome. So I picked up a couple things. So flea markets can always be kind of interesting. If I'm not mistaken, also, this film was shot in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Which is just kind of interesting. But yeah. I always liked this film. Lots of good stuff in this movie. But, you know, the thing with it is, I guess everybody's going to have stuff out of somebody's catalog. If you are a fan of a famous director, you're going to have certain films that you're going to gravitate to, or a film you gravitate to. Like I said, outside of this film, and I have nothing against Kevin Smith, but the only other film that I like that he did is Clerks 2. Now, I don't know why I like that movie. It's just good. Like a coming-of-age kind of thing for the characters. I don't know. I just like it. I think Randall's over the top in it, and it's just entertaining as shit. Zack and Miri Make a Porno is a good movie. You know, I like that one, too. I like all the hockey stuff in it. But, yeah. I mean, I think sometimes you just have to kind of gravitate to what, you know, suits your palate, you know. Like, I had a conversation recently, speaking of comic stuff. I was talking with some folks about the movie The Joker. And the other three people, there were only four of us there, the other three people did not like the film. You know, and I loved it. I think the movie is fucking fantastic. But again, when I watch that, I don't go into it with any kind of agenda. I just enjoyed the film. Is that film for everybody? No. Can I see where somebody would find that film disturbing? Sure. But, you know, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it quite a bit, you know. I'm more of a Marvel kid, to say, comic-wise, but I do like some DC stuff. And I definitely enjoy me some Joker action. So now we've got the chick from, you guys may know her from Devil's Rejects, but I know her from a little show called Three's Company. And that's where I know this Priscilla Barnes, I believe is her name. I don't have my phone with me to look shit up today, so like I do on Phantasma when Corey and I are recording, so just kind of winging it here. Yeah, I enjoy, I don't know, I enjoy watching certain things. You know, I guess if you put a gun to my head, my favorite director is probably John Carpenter or Stanley Kubrick. Those are my two favorite directors. But believe it or not, my favorite film, I have two. One will make no sense to you, the other might. I love The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. The Western, Clint Eastwood. I'm a huge fan of it. And the other would probably be, I don't know. I guess I just have that one. I like a lot of other movies, but The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is just an amazing fucking film. If you've never seen it, I highly recommend it. Shot for shot. If you're a Quentin Tarantino film, he swears by the movie if you like him. If you don't trust me, maybe you'll trust Quentin, because it's a great film. And every time it's on, I sit and watch it. If it's edited, I watch it. If it's the R version, I watch it. If it's the unrated version, I watch it. If it's the extended version, I watch it. I just like to watch it. And Kino Lorber put that out on 4K recently. It's expensive as a motherfucker, though. It's like $40. I'm dabbling in 4K. I haven't dove straight in as a collector yet, but I dabble in it. I just picked up Beverly Hills Cop recently in 4K because I love that movie. I guess that was the last 4K thing I bought. Before that was Jaws. So as you can tell, I don't buy a lot of 4K stuff. But I dabble in it, you know, here and there. It's interesting, though, on the Beverly Hills Cop, because they just put the first one out. And I really like the second one, so I was hoping for a 4K of the second one. And I was thinking maybe with that resurgence on Amazon Prime of his Coming to America sequel, which I haven't watched yet. And I mainly haven't watched it, not because I don't like Eddie. I love Eddie, but I'm kind of stuck with, like, 80s Eddie. Like, I love 48 Hours, Beverly Hills Cop, Beverly Hills Cop 2. Excuse me. Trading Places, I like okay. I really just want to fuck Jamie Lee Curtis in that. I think she looks so hot in that movie. And I don't usually find her that attractive, but I find her to be extremely attractive as a hooker in Trading Places with Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy. But, yeah, dabbling in 4K. They did finally put The Golden Child, which I highly recommend to you guys if you guys are a fan of Eddie Murphy's and you've never seen it. Two movies, if you've never seen, you should always check out of his that are staples is The Golden Child and 48 Hours. Now, 48 Hours has a sequel called Another 48 Hours that I'm not a huge fan of. It's okay. The biker gang in it's kind of interesting and kind of cool. But not a huge fan of that movie. And then they make Keyhole, which is one of the detectives that works with them on the cases from the first film. And he's the bad guy. It just kind of sucks. So, spoiler alert. I just basically ruined Another 48 Hours. But that's all you really need to know about it. It's just not a great movie. Stan Lee, we made it. We're 50. 58 minutes in, and Stan, there he is. There's Stan the man.
I guess, as far as couples go. You know, it reminds me of an issue of Spider-Man I did when Peter Parker and Gwen Stacy went lingerie shopping. Of course, the Green Goblin showed up, and he pumpkin bombed the hell out of the place. But aside from that, it's pretty much the same thing.
Oh, my God. Holy snot! Aren't you?
Oh, Stanley.
Oh, man. I love Stanley. Oh. I'm very happy to say that I have a lot of key Spider-Man issues written by Stanley. Two of my favorite things I own is the Amazing Spider-Man Annual Number 1. Which is the first appearance of the Sinister Six. And another one that I'm very proud that I owned about 6 months later is Amazing Spider-Man 15, which is the first appearance of Kraven the Hunter. So, big Stan Lee fan.
I mean, what with the comic book code and all.
I can't believe I'm standing here talking to you. You're responsible for the greats. Let's do the list. Spider-Man.
Guilty.
The Incredible Hulk.
Great, so.
Oh, man, this is so cool. The X-Men.
Now that you mention it.
Oh, man, you are a god.
Hey, look at that couple. Boy, they sure seem to be in love, huh?
You know, what's with that? That's the second time you've commented on couples in love.
Well, I like that sort of thing. Tell me, do you have a girlfriend?
I love Stan Lee.
The thing. It's a superhero secret. Tell me, Brody, why did you and your girlfriend...
Anyway, I want to thank you guys for listening to me today, celebrating 5 years of Phantasm Podcast. It's been an interesting ride. A lot of shit's happened to me in the past 5 years. It's been fucking rough, to be honest with you, for me and Corey, I think. But I feel like someone's beating the hell out of me with a shovel, but, you know, we're still here. We're still doing it. Check out Godless Heathens. You may like it, you may not. It's another podcast I'm doing. And I also want to announce another podcast that's brand new that I have not submitted for your approval yet. It's called The Old Gods Podcast. And it's my new podcast. So now I'm doing three. So you got Phantasm, Godless Heathens, and then Old Gods Podcast. Doing that with my friend Trent, the unqualified critic. We have a lot of fun, and it's completely different than any of the other two. So you might like it, you may hate it, but check it out, and I'll let you know when that pops up out there. But for now, check out Godless Heathens. And this is Dr. Vincent West, Medical Doctor. And I want to thank you for listening to Phantasm Podcast. I want to thank Corey for making Phantasm possible. and all the great folks at the record labels that help us out all the time, and their PR folks and the artists that come on, and shout out to all those folks. Without you, we couldn't have done all this. And to you, the listener, thank you, and thank you for listening, and maybe we'll be around to talk about this again in 5 more years, and I'll have more shit to talk about. But Stan Lee's out. Now I'm out, kids. Dr. Vincent West, thanks for listening. Take care.